I'm John.
And I'm Jason. And this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
We're back for episode 99 of Digital Divination. I like to say this word, so I'm going to say it. This is the penultimate episode before we get to 100.
That's right. You know how much I'm restraining myself not making a Get Smart joke, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Every time.
Really?
I think about that number. I don't know.
Oh.
Every time I get to 99 of something, which is all the time, of course, you know, I'm counting bottles of beer, et cetera.
Yeah. Now, so that's interesting. So are you talking from the old version? Because I don't think you're old enough from the old show. It was out?
I'm old enough reruns. I'm old enough to have watched Nick at Night.
Yeah, that's still okay. Yeah, yeah. That's still like what my kids watch kind of thing. So yeah, okay.
Did you know, have we ever mentioned about Paizo? I mean, not getting in trouble. Their fan reaction for the word involving the word penultimate. I don't know if Jason, if even you know
what?
About this.
No, I don't remember. What?
When
what
they were doing the Dungeon & Dragon magazine, they knew it was coming to an end. And so they advertised the second to the final one, like in big splashy letters on the cover, the ultimate penultimate issue, right? Which is pretty clever, but there were people who were like, wait, this is last? That doesn't mean any, wait, or this is, wait, if it's the ultimate penultimate, is it the one before the one before the, anyway, they were technically correct, but confused a lot of people.
Wait, and so it, like, say the last episode was 100, on issue 98, they said ultimate penultimate?
Or no, it was whatever. It wasn't even number 100. Whatever issue they ended on. Was
no, I'm just saying for just to explain it to me. For argument's sake, let's say they ended on 100. Okay. Did they say ultimate penultimate on 99 or 98?
I think they said it on 99.
Okay, so that's correct.
Technically correct.
Yeah, 98 would be the anti penultimate.
Leading up to. I like
leading
that.
Leading up to the penultimate.
A-N-T-E, not A-N-T-I.
A-N-T-E, A-N-T-E, right. Anti-penultimate.
Right. Right.
Or the penultimate. The way that today, not when this comes out, but like today for us recording, it's Christmas Eve Day Eve Day.
Yes.
Wait. So okay.
Yes. So
you don't. I don't think you need to put day in there, but twice, honestly.
Because it's not the evening. You do.
I guess so.
Well, before we get any further, especially since you're poking fun at another company.
I do want to point out that I am an employee of Wizards of the Coast, and my opinions are mine and not theirs.
All right, because Wizards of the Coast isn't making fun of the ultimate penultimate.
No. That's true. And frankly, the thing that excites me most about the ultimate penultimate is that, I mean, they were right. They used those words in the appropriate way.
Sure,
it's just. Fans in the way that fans sometimes do can be like, no, that was wrong. No, well, no.
I don't think Ron. Good. Yeah, I don't think Ron was making fun of it. He was pointing out the fact that other people were complaining about it. So I think we're all good.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm just making a little, like, you know,
a lighthearted joke, segue. That's good. Yeah. That's good. Thank you for keeping that on track.
Ruin it all for me, man.
No, I'm going to pick it.
Well, so this is the end of the year, and you know, it's funny. I was just actually talking to Ron about doing an end of the year episode for another podcast that we're on, and I was looking that last year, Jason and I didn't do a real end of the year thing. We talked a little bit about it, but we didn't have a topic related to the end of the year. So, you know, I'm kind of torn. This has been an interesting year for role-playing games and stuff, and I don't know how much we want to get into how interesting it was, giving a lot of that was driven by another company that, you know. So,
whose opinions I do not speak for.
Yes. But you know, there's, you know, neat stuff coming out at Paizo. They announced Starfinder, second edition, you know, coming out here, down the road. Playtest is coming out. The field test is already out. Starfinder Enhanced came out. Yeah, so I'm not sure if there's enough to do a retrospective, especially since I'm actually wondering how much we're going to have to talk about Starfinder-wise over the next year.
Well,
what do you mean how much you have to start? There's all kinds of stuff to talk about.
There's not going to be anything super new coming out. I mean, there'll be a couple of things coming out, but then, you know, it's going to be light lift until the playtest for 2E comes out on Gen Con.
Right, so in the summer, But I think, I think we'll have two adventure paths come out before then. So that'll, we'll have to like milk those for like, you know, six episodes each probably.
But you can only do so much with adventure paths without being like super spoilery. And since I'm hoping to play at least one, maybe both of those.
Yes.
I mean, the best I'm going to be able to say is, I mean, here's what my character's doing. Right.
I mean,
and that's
something.
Yeah. No, that's.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so here's end of the year. And, well, I guess, we could, you know, one of the things often people do is they make resolutions. You guys have any New Year's resolutions, gaming related?
That's a good question.
Yes and no. I have some resolutions that are I'm just going to be vague about finishing projects. Over, you know, as I always sort of say, oh, I bet you finish this. And, you know, thinking about some other projects that I started actually last December-ish, last winter-ish, and haven't actually finished yet. So would like to do that, would make that my resolution.
So what you didn't finish this year, you would like to try to finish next year.
As always, right? Isn't that always the case? I didn't finish last year, I want to finish next year.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, this is for myself, it's the wrong time of year to be doing gaming resolutions because I'm really settled into a schedule where during the school year, I have far fewer nights to be gaming because I'm, you know, running my kids to and from basketball and band performances and, you know, plays for drama class and things like that. So my gaming kind of ratchets down through the school year. And then come March, April, right, when some of those extracurriculars tail out, I can get into more gaming. And so that's maybe the part of the year when I'm like, okay, well, this time I'm resolved to play this new system, or I'm resolved to do my, whenever I run stuff, you know, that's homebrew, to do it in this specifically more character-led way rather than, you know, GM-led way. You know, things like that that I resolve to do. Because if I make resolutions to do them now, of course I'm going to be changing my mind between now and like April or whatever. No. So as new fun games come out and things like that. I do. Around this time of year, I do have one. It's not really a resolution, but it's a caution. There is a really neat Kickstarter in the game. So I don't follow a lot of game Kickstarters, but I do follow some. And I was excited because there are a couple of people on my Christmas list. I'm like, oh, this game is going to be perfect for. And so I backed it, ordered it, you know, way back in like June. And I'm like, this is going to be awesome on Christmas. And it's not coming until January. So... There are a couple of people, and John, you're one of them who I had to say.
I was guessing you mentioned something.
Christmas, it's coming. I mean, it looks awesome, and I'll be able to talk about it later on. I don't want to spoil the surprise right now, but maybe a resolution of, as far as gaming resolutions go, to both continue to support, you know, Kickstarters and the indie creators that really rely on them. But maybe to do so earlier in the year, even than June.
Yes. I mean, it all depends on when they do a thing, right?
Like, yeah.
You know, and how long it takes them. So you can't really plan those out. It is nice though, to sort of like know that if you're getting this for gifts for other people, to know that they might not come in. It's always nice when you do a thing and it comes in. Oh my God. Sorry. I don't know what's happened to my throat there. And it comes in as a surprise, and you get your yourself a nice little Christmas present.
Yes.
What I sort of like, I got Brindlewood Bay books just last weekend, and excited to check those out.
Yeah, you know, we were talking early on about you guys had both, before we started recording, you both had got something. And I realized I got something too. I just don't have the physical thing to show you. A different something that I can't, this one I can talk about.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, so I actually backed the comic, for the Paizo's comic that's coming out. So they have the Angels of the Drift, and they have two Pathfinder related ones. So I actually got the digital copies of those.
Oh, great.
So Dynamite sent a link, and it took me like 2 weeks. The link wouldn't work. I had to keep going back and forth with them, and they had to keep changing stuff. But what one of the things they did say, so I what I asked for is I want physical copies of the graphic novels. So the last issue of the comics being released, I think, in January. So in February, they're going to be shipping out the graphic novels. So I'm pretty excited. Nice. To get those.
Oh gosh, I want to read those.
That's good. I also prefer graphic novels, even when I'm super excited. What I will do is, if there's a comic series I really like, I will get, like, you know, issue one and be like, okay, this is worth setting down and waiting until I can get the whole, you know.
Right, and that's exactly what I'm doing. I saw, oh, this is neat, looked at the art and everything, and say, no, I'm going to wait till I get the graphic novel, and then I have something on the shelf to add. In terms of a gaming-related New Year's resolution, I actually have two. So maybe that's why I brought this up. The first one is to become much more proficient at Pathfinder 2nd Edition and Remastered. And so I'm running the Fists of the Ruby Phoenix campaign. And one, I'm going to be running more society stuff too. That's kind of my plan there. And the second one, we just mentioned that there's not a ton of new stuff coming up for Starfinder. I actually have some ideas, and I want to get some Starfinder Infinite stuff out. I've written a lot of stuff for other folks, and it's like, you know what? I think I know how to do this now. So so I might actually be hitting up, I know you, Ron, have got some layout tricks, and I've actually seen some of your layout stuff. That looks pretty good. So I might see if I can get some help getting those templates from you or wherever you bought them.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, like I was going to offer that. I can't, I have to live vicariously, right? I mean, the restrictions that I'm under don't allow me to produce Pathfinder, Starfinder, Infinite stuff anymore, no matter how great ideas I have. But I do like all of the detail-oriented work of, all right, well, putting this technically together and then doing the layout and so on. So I'm totally happy to advise on that. That'll be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Excellent. So that's kind of where I'm at. This year is really weird for me in that my I'm picking up like some additional classes that I've never ever taught. And so I literally spent like 3 weeks. I'm teaching a class in the spring, and I spent 3 weeks just trying to figure out what textbook to use for this thing. Because the particular course was designed by somebody else who's since taken early retirement. And it's like completely not in my wheelhouse in a lot of respects on how they're teaching it. And there's no real textbook for this thing. It's using sustainable innovation to tackle wicked problems.
Wicked problems?
Yes.
Wicked like problems.
Evil ones?
Wicked, no. Wicked is a very specific term. And using a systems approach to do so. So that's all part of the requirement. It's like, wow. So I understand sustainable innovation. Wicked problems are big, unwieldy problems like, you know, world hunger and stuff like that, that have so many different stakeholders. They're really big, hard to wrap your hands around. And so that's something that people have been working on for a long time. And then the systems approach is like a 30 or 40 year old kind of model people are using. Anyway, so this is all this stuff. And like, I'm not smart on any of these. And so that's my vacation has been getting books and studying and reading again.
Oh, boy.
Try to get smart on something that I have to teach like 3 months from now, because otherwise I'll do my usual, oh, here's the week before, I'll get ready, and that's not enough time.
Not enough time to do it.
Yeah.
Fair.
So
can I bring that wicked back to gaming with a quick anecdote?
Please. Yes.
I always thought this was kind of clever, and I'm a big fan of Torg. I mean, it's right here behind me, right? In the original version, this is Torg Eternity, but in the original version, they have like the Gothic horror realm. And in the Gothic horror realm, if you do bad things, it will stain your soul with corruption and eventually turn you into a monster. But they had a thorny problem to untangle, which I can appreciate from a design perspective, about, well, you're adventurers, right? So you're going to kill people, right? You're going to commit murder. You're going to take stuff from people, right? You're going to, you know, investigating clues and things like that. Yeah. It's going to require that. How do we distinguish that from, like, bad actions that you take? And they had this whole description, and I thought this was pretty good, about the difference between doing things that are evil and doing things that are wicked, right? If you've got to kill somebody because they're menacing innocent people, I mean, it is evil to kill. But capturing them and torturing them for information, that's actually wicked. That's further than what you need to pursue the good. And so they had, it's almost like this extra tick in the bad direction. I mean, they don't have alignment, but it's like this extra tick in the bad direction that they labeled wicked. And I read, as soon as you said wicked problems, I'm like, those are like the very worst kind.
They are, but that's the thing, is that's why they, that term was coined from, because they are the worst kind. You know, the first thing I thought of when you said that, it's like, they're adventurers. Of course they're going to kill people. I'm thinking, we have lots of people that adventure in real life, and I don't think they're known as mass murderers as well. Isn't there some other way to accomplish that adventuring?
I mean, technically they'd be serial killers, not mass murderers, because they're doing it in, you know, but.
Right, in sequel. Yeah, but it depends how many they did each time, and, you know.
Probably. It depends.
How much does it take for mass? I don't know.
That's a different kind of podcast, I think, to get into serial killers versus mass murderers versus,
but a popular one. So
yeah, that's true. That's a genre. Category. That's a good genre.
Yeah.
So that's that's our resolution for the new year, right, John? Digital Divination is going to become a true crime podcast.
True crime. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe sometime around April we'll work on that. How's that?
Okay. All right. That sounds fair.
Right when I'm making my resolutions.
Yeah. But, well, interesting. So what about non-gaming plans for the year? Anything big or exciting or thoughts you've been thinking of? Or?
No. Something...
You don't have to talk about it if it's that personal. No, maybe. Okay.
I don't know. There's some stuff. I mean, there's stuff like... At some point, I think we want to move, but I don't think this year is going to be the year. But it might be in the middle of the year, or it might have to break a lease this year. I don't know. Yeah, but it's not really that exciting.
And moving away from the city you live in and the whole state and everything, or?
Maybe not the whole state, but definitely not that far. Just a little further south.
Oh, you know, here Carnation is pretty affordable out that way.
No, it's not, actually.
No, it's not? Never mind, I mean, then. Forget it.
It was 6 years ago.
It's more affordable than where I live. Let me just tell you that. Absolutely, yeah.
Having moved from where you live to where I live for its affordability 6 years ago.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, for sure. That's a big thing. That would be a big thing to do.
We have, to the extent I have a resolution that's non-gaming, maybe gaming adjacent, I'm really glad that you brought up the fact that you're interested in doing Starfinder Infinite and, you know, would like some guidance and advice on that, which I'm happy to give. Because to the extent I've got any sort of overall resolution, it's to help more. I mean, we rely on our networks, right? And in the tabletop gaming industry, you know, it's got its own sort of quirky networks. And I feel like I opted out of giving people help. You know, the occasional legal advice and willingness to look over stuff or chip in and co-author things. A lot of that I backed off on because my employment agreement required it. I can't co-author stuff for publication anymore, for example, and that hasn't changed. But I also felt really, really burned and really isolated by the fan reaction at the beginning of 2023 to the OGL issue. And I feel like there were a lot of people who, instead of focusing their ire on the people who were responsible at Wizards, just sort of focused their ire on Wizards and everybody associated with them. So I felt really kind of belittled and really isolated and threatened, physically threatened by a lot of people. And that caused me to withdraw. And I feel like that, even if that was the right thing to do and the expected and appropriate thing to do at the time, that's not a way I can continue to live. I'm by nature somebody who wants to reach out and help people. And so at the end of this year, I've been looking for more ways to be able to reach out and provide whatever network support I can to other people. So that's something I'm resolved to do more of in the new year. That's, we have to look out for each other, and I don't want to opt out of looking out for people. I want to get into that.
That's real nice. I got nothing to follow that up on, except for to say nothing along those lines. You know, Ron, you know, obviously, like, it totally sucks that you felt that way at the beginning of the year and all the stuff that did happen. I agree that it was just completely off base, people pointing their ire in the wrong direction. And sorry.
Yeah. I'll just echo what Jason said. I mean, having known you and what you were going through at the time, and everybody else, it's I think most people on the Paizo side of things were not intentionally trying to direct it at you, but did not realize the effect of their such the vitriol that they were throwing, how it trickled down. I don't know. They obviously had not experienced that at their own work. Otherwise they would have realized that kind of thing. I think so. Along those lines of what you said, it kind of reminds me of something else. This isn't a resolution, but kind of planning thing. For many years now, since the start of the pandemic, because of my medical situation, I have not been going to conventions. And one of the things that I want to do this year is start doing that more and starting small. And so, you know, I went to one local convention this past year. I'm going to OrcaCon coming up here in a couple weeks. That's where quite a few folks just come in and actually hang out and chat. I'm hoping one or both of you will show up at some time there. And
are you doing OrcaCon, Jason?
Not of any official capacity, or unofficial capacity. I haven't even thought about it, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm bringing it up, because a lot of people unofficially just show up and talk.
Yeah. I think I did that a couple years ago once, just sort of like there was a big people hanging out, and I was like, I'll just show up and hang out.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, but I really like going last year and hanging out with people. I will say, as far as OrcaCon, my response for a mid-academic year convention like OrcaCon is my answer to a lot of weekend things, which is, depends on basketball game schedules that I'm doing with my kids. But I do intend to get out there, you know, for a couple hours in an evening, for example, just to meet, to catch up with people, say hi.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to. I'm actually running. I signed up to run one game. I can't remember what they're called. My
bounty.
The bounty. I'm running my bounty on Friday, just because I get a free pass for the weekend. And last time I didn't buy a pass, and I just kind of showed up, and we all chatted, and I thought, oh, that feels a little awkward. Maybe I'll get a pass, and then I can actually look around a little bit. I think we're planning on sticking around because we're spending a big chunk of time up on Kameno around the new year. So I think that weekend we'll actually stay here, and so I could actually do more. The other thing, though, I'm hoping to go to Gen Con this year, which I haven't gone to since 2019.
Yeah.
I'm told it's gotten big again, but it's not as big as it was pre-COVID yet. The crowd isn't quite there. But I have some friends that I probably won't see except for there. And I think that would be fun. So that's another thing.
I think Gen Con is pretty likely for me this year. And I'd love to see you there, John, but I'm going to be... I'm going to be the kind of person who's like, only if your doctors say that going to a big convention is acceptable. I don't want you to be contravening medical advice to get back to conventions.
So here's the thing. So in October, when I went in for my follow-up after my major surgery, I asked these questions and he said, yeah, sure. I think now's the time you can conventions and conferences, all that stuff I was avoiding. he said I could go to. Now, I will say I went to a big faculty meeting and I was sick for 2.5 weeks afterwards. So, but it's because they had a buffet there. And I'm thinking, okay, stay away from buffets.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, and I didn't even think about it because I was away from everybody else. And then we all went through a line. Of course, everybody's handling the same utensils when they're serving. And some of those wicked people did not wash their hands. And for me, I'm just more susceptible and things hang on longer. So, and the trade-off, you know, what they said is just expect, you know, you're probably going to get sick, but if you can live with the a little bit longer recovery afterwards, it's probably safe enough. Yeah. So I'll get Concord probably, but it's not going to kill me, which is my concern before. Right. So
good.
With COVID, right. Even if I were to get COVID at this point, they feel pretty comfortable that I have a strong enough immune system and everything. I would probably be okay. So I think it's okay.
Good try.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'll have to talk to you more about going, Ron, because there are other issues in play that I might hit you up on.
So. Okay.
What about you, Jason? Are you going to think about any of the big conventions? I know you guys don't have to necessarily.
I know I don't have to. I don't know. What I really miss is I kind of actually miss PaizoCon a lot.
Oh, a lot. Me too. Was
a lot of fun. It was always a lot of fun. And doing lots of different stuff at a PaizoCon, having informal games and running the official games and stuff like that. It was always a lot of fun, but you know, still not really up for that. Probably. I mean, I know Paizo's probably not, he's still probably keeping it virtual for a while.
Well, you are in luck because this year PaizoCon is recruiting some local lodges in different areas to kind of do stuff in conjunction with it. Last year was Kublai Khan in LA, right? It was running at the same time. And so they did some stuff in conjunction with it. Not a whole lot.
Sure, yeah.
This year, I hear there's a local lodge that's going to have some involvement. And so if you wanted to get involved in some informal games and stuff, there may be that kind of stuff going on at a Mox near you. So.
Oh, at a Mox. Okay. Well, yeah, hit me up.
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure. For sure, we'll do that. Well, neat. Yeah, I'm just thinking. You know, I have other resolutions, but I'm not. They're typical non-gaming stuff. So I don't think we need to get into that. I will resolve
eat more vegetables, right? That's
yes. No. So I'm going to go a different direction. One is I have two lights here. One I used to use and one Ron used to use for our setups. I'm going to get one of them to you, Jason, so we can get you some better lighting.
Sure. So, you don't like my orange glow here?
No, I don't like your orange glow. And
fair enough.
Because I know we can make you look so much more evenly colored. And so I'm going to resolve to get one of those lights to you. And then, Ron, even though I got you that new mic and you sound way better.
Thank you.
I'm going to get you a boom arm because I literally have an extra boom arm. So I just got to get these things to y'all. Yeah. So we'll get you all set up and we're going to try to keep Ron pretty regular. Yeah. If that works.
Yeah. I think I'm willing to come in pretty regular. I think that we've got a, with a lawyerly analysis that I've given, which I can do of my, you know, permitted outside endeavors and the like, appearing on something like this is feels like it's right within the realm of appropriateness. I could certainly drop in some of the things that are coming out from my company that I'm super excited about. I did mention that I might be going to Gen Con. I might be going to Gen Con in an official capacity. I don't know. We haven't settled that out yet.
I might do that too, but I don't know.
Ooh. I know that the PaizoCon we were just talking about, I really miss the in-person PaizoCon that was at the DoubleTree right by the airport.
Yeah.
NorwestCon is coming up, and that's at the same hotel out at the airport. Yeah. And so it looks like I'm going to be doing some panel speaking at NorwestCon, which could be kind of fun too.
Yeah.
It'll be sort of a lot of the same sort of feel of the old Paizo Con, and that it's at the same building, and you could go get the cookie at the front desk and at the Double Tree and everything.
Oh, right. About the cookie.
Yeah, actually, I forgot about, because I haven't gone to Norwest Con for a couple of years, but again, that's another one. Norwest Con's over Easter weekend.
That's right. I haven't ever been. I'm excited for my first Norwest Con.
Oh, yeah. No, there's lots of cool, and they do a lot of other, it's like, that's, gaming's a, such a tiny part of that. There's so
because
much
it's
other
so
stuff.
Much sci-fi and fantasy, and it's I'm really excited. A lot of that is going to bring in. This is man. There's I will say this as I think it rather than as I carefully get. There's a lot of science fiction and fantasy fandoms that I totally get that I'm a part of that I feel like I could sort of be part of, blend in on at something like Norwest Con, which is different than something like a big anime convention, which has a lot of fandoms that I don't understand. I'm just not part of that. I don't understand a lot of the anime fandoms. And so when I go to like a comics and anime convention, like we used to have in Chicago when I would go out there, I would be a lot of, I know you're referencing a thing I don't get, and other people seem impressed by your skilled reference at a thing I don't get. I will be a little less puzzled, I think, NorwestCon than I would be at some sort of anime convention.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mention that because there's actually a big anime convention that happens here in Seattle called SakuraCon. And there is such a divide between those folks and the sci-fi fantasy folks. Those big conventions happen on the same weekend.
Oh, really? Oh, my
God.
Oh,
okay. Yes.
I didn't mean to pick a side in a war. Ouch.
So it's an either or. Yeah.
So.
Oh, what about you, Jason? Where do you fall on the anime, sci-fi, fantasy?
Probably the same as Ron. Probably the same as Ron. If I watch any anime, it's very specific. God, I just learned the name for it the other day and I can't remember it, but it's a very specific sort of chill anime. It's like, this is an anime where these kids go camping and that's the stakes and that's there are none and there's no drama. And this is an anime where they, you know, learn to play board games. I think the most action-y anime that I watch is Spy X Family, but that's more of like a comedy anime than it is anything else.
I don't know any of those. My kid is really into anime, and I should probably learn more. I call her a kid. She turns 30 this
next month. She's your offspring.
She's my offspring. You know, speaking of stuff, have you guys watched Rebel Moon?
Oh, no, not yet.
I've not had a chance to yet, no.
No.
I want to.
Didn't it like just drop like yesterday or something?
I think it just dropped yesterday. I didn't even realize that. And okay. No spoilers, but it was a lot better than I was led to believe it was going to be. Okay.
And it's a part one of two or three or something. It's what I heard about it is don't expect it to resolve everything. It's the beginning of a duo or trilogy or something.
But it's a very natural. The second one comes out in, I think, May, April, May. It's a very natural endpoint. It could have ended there.
Okay.
And then had a subsequent one. I'll just say that it's not a cliffhanger like Andor, like when Andor ended. I don't know if you guys watched Andor.
And I don't really remember how it ended, but
it's like a cliffhanger right there. It's like, oh, what's going to happen now? You know, so for a whole season, I hate having to wait 2 years or whatever, you know, to resolve after the cliffhanger kind of thing. So I was surprised, and you know, I was telling my wife. Everyday Heroes has an issue right now with Rebel Moon. Yes. And kind of explaining some of what's going on with that lawsuit. Have you looked at, heard about the lawsuit, Mr. Lawyer?
Oh, I absolutely have. Yeah, it's super interesting. The most interesting thing about the lawsuit to me is that it puts more into the public mind how much behind the scenes work goes in to game companies who are creating or working on a new world. That is to say, if I give, like, there are setting Bibles, they call them, which is like, here's what the kind of behind the, if you're writing about this world, you need to be reviewing the sort of setting Bible. There's one property that I worked on that I did not expect more than like a wiki page of background to be needed. And I got something like a 90-page setting Bible for how the different factions interact and what their fashions are and how they have to look and be presented and so on. And the when a setting Bible is one of those things that if it works really well, you never realize it existed. Everything just kind of meshes right. in a great place. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people don't know they exist. And so as part of the lawsuit is all of the work that Evil Genius Games did in order to do like their own sort of background for this. People don't realize that's even a thing, much less that it was so much work. And yeah, I was kind of glad to see at least that come out and some of these stories about, oh, hey, you know, being a gamer and game tabletop game writing is a lot more than just putting together just this book. There's more right. words even than this, and lots more words even than this go into these right, types right, of products. Right. So,
yeah, it's interesting because one of their properties, I don't know if I can say which one, has a massive setting Bible, and everything that they're doing with that license property they have to make sure it all fits through this thing. And I'm thinking it's a 1,000-page Bible.
Wow. Yeah.
We can tell everyone. It's Hello Kitty, right?
Yeah.
It's the Sanrio universe.
Wait, no. Yeah. I thought that was a Renegade thing.
No. That's My Little Pony.
Oh, I get those two confused.
That's exactly different. Yeah, that's different. No one is brave enough to do the Hello Kitty roleplay TTRPG yet.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. And the part of that I find really interesting, Ron, that you bring up is part of the thing that I read that's in the lawsuit is that Netflix took what they created and used it in the movie.
That's part of the claim, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is, I had not heard that until recently. That's pretty damning then. To not only say, hey, we're canceling this license that you paid real money for, had a signed contract for. Oh, but we're still keeping everything your creative content you made.
The setting Bible, it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, wow. You know? It seems really silly to me. I don't understand why they would do that, too.
Well, people that I otherwise I'm related to people who are in sort of a lot of Hollywood I've heard industry some, type stuff. Yeah. They say that some companies are just many companies are just so extremely rigorous and even litigious about leaks that any implication that you leaked something ahead of time is very, very serious. And Netflix is claiming, oh, we're just, you know, it's just it was a perceived purported leak, and therefore we had all the right in the world to revoke and deny money and so on. All this stuff. I had heard
there was an ulterior motive in that they actually wanted to get a video game made, and they realized that licensing rights was going to cause a problem. And that's just a rumor I'd heard. So I don't even know if there's any basis.
Well, a lot of this, a lot of this stuff is all going to come out in the court system, right? It's alleged this or rumored that, and that's kind of the best we can do based on court filings. Probably a good reminder that any court filing that you see is somebody's trying to, it's a persuasion piece, right? Yes. Somebody's trying to influence a judge or whatever about something. And so keep that in mind when I think there's a little bit too much of a tendency to take court filings as undisputed fact when in fact the point of a lot of them is to present it as though it were undisputed fact. So anyway, that's why I've been hedging a lot in my discussion about this sort of, Evil Genius Games.
What I like about it though, what I will say from a business standpoint, this is actually really good for the Everyday Heroes brand.
Yeah.
Because it
no bad publicity is no publicity is bad publicity kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, where that comes from is the idea that even if there's a negative thing that was causing the publicity, people eventually forget the negative thing. They just like, you know, Exxon, right? People may be really familiar with Exxon, but maybe a lot of that came from the Exxon Valdez oil spill. But like I ask my students now, they have no idea that happened.
Hmm.
You know, 20 somethings now have no idea that even happened. You know, it's just crazy. But in this case, it's not even a negative thing for Everyday Heroes that, I mean, really, right? They're trying to go after something that was done wrongful. But the fact that now Netflix has to fight it, and when you see a big company having to fight off a little company, that almost always raises the profile of the little company.
Of the little company.
Yeah. So anyway, that was just top of mind, and I thought I have a lawyer online. I thought I would ask. So, all right. Well, this is the last time we're going to meet up here before the holiday and the new year. So,
and number 100.
And number 100.
This is our ultimate penultimate. It's not penultimate. It's not penultimate. It's just 99. That's.
That's true.
I mean, we're not going to stop.
We're not going to stop at 100.
As soon as we're going to do 101, we're like, well, I guess it wasn't penultimate then.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, you know, I've been talking about the 100th for so long. I was thinking really hard. Maybe we'll take a hiatus after 100. I don't know. Build up. But at this point, it seems like we have something to talk about for 101. So we'll just take it an episode at a time at this point.
We'll do 101 and then we'll take a hiatus. I don't know.
That's right. And then maybe 102 and then decide. Or then maybe,
sure, whenever. We'll see.
But happy holidays and happy new year to both of you and to all of our listeners.
Indeed.
Wherever you are.
Wherever, whenever you are. Yes. Even if wherever, you're listening to this in March, happy new year to you.
That's true. It's exciting. It's exciting to know that, you know, to see other people's comments and see other people have been listening to this and asking questions to follow up on stuff. I mean, it's neat. It's fun to see. So thank you all. Thank you all the listeners out there.
Oh, speaking of follow-ups, one of our listeners asked, where do we get the Glorian World shirt?
Oh, that is a, oh Lord, I remember this. I think it's Pegasus Publishing. Let me.
Oh yeah, I think you said that.
I think I said that. Let me just double check. That's right. Before I Pegasus Publishing.
It really doesn't matter too much because the listener was Ron. So,
I want to know, right?
I mean, yeah, because you could tell them offline, but other people might too. So
yeah, they have a whole bunch of licenses and stuff, but specifically a bunch of Pathfinder stuff. So yeah, Pegasus Publishing. They look like the kind of company that probably also goes to cons, so you might be able to find them at a big con and see if you can get
probably Norwest Con. You never know.
They might be. I don't know. But definitely, this seems like they might go to Gen Con. I don't know.
Yeah, excellent. Great. Well, I'm John,
and I'm Ron,
and I'm Jason, and this has been Digital Divination.